We begin the current daf Masechta Ksubos daf Ayin Hey. Begin 10 lines down from the top of the Yomid. The Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. That is, we had been discussing the topic of Kid Shal Tanai, which our Mishnah had said, and we had a Machlekes Rav and Shmuel, and different ways how to interpret that. If there's a Kiddush Shal Tanai, that means he gets engaged to the woman saying, on the condition that you don't have any Nedarim. So the Gemara introduced a Braisa that said that if a woman got engaged on the condition that she doesn't have any Nedarim, and really she had Nedarim. So what did she do when she was engaged? She went to a chacham to be mata neder, and he was mata the neder. So there was a contradiction. And Bryce's, one Bryce said that she's mukadeshes, and one said she's not mukadeshes. So Rabbah, and that's why there are those who changed the gears in the previous daf, because now the Gemara is going to bring from Rava, so it can't be Rava who gave that previous interpretation. So Rabbah said that it's not a contradiction. The Bryce that says that she is mukadeshes is because retroactively the chacham was made for neder. Moreover, it's going like Remeir, who holds that a person is not particularly, doesn't bother him if his wife will be mezbazim if nebazim. He doesn't care if she has to go in front of the sages to nullify her vow. And therefore, since she can do that, and retroactively she didn't have it at the time of Kedushin, so therefore she's mukadeshes. Whereas the second brisa that says that she cannot is going like Rabbi Elazar, who even if you'll say that being mater neder works retroactively and comes out that she didn't have her neder at the time of Kedushin, she's not going to be mukadeshes, because if you're saying she is mukadeshes, you're going to run into the problem of how is she by only being mater neder, and a man doesn't want that is the woman he's engaged to, that he's married to, should be mezbazim in front of the bezdin, and therefore that's not a good option to retroactively make it that she didn't have, and therefore in the mekudeshes. Now Rav Amar, he gives a second interpretation to resolve the contradiction of the brises. He says, Ahacha, the brise that says, the second one, that said that if she goes to the chacham and is mata the neder, that she's not mekudeshes, because that was the more challenging brise. The first one made sense, in a sense because, as the Gemara had said, it works me'ikara, it works retroactively, and therefore, why shouldn't she be mekudeshes? Now, retroactively, she didn't have a neder at the time that she had Kiddushin. But on that, Rava says, the second brisa holds as a problem because it's talking about Be'isha Chashuva. It's talking about a woman from a dignified family, Askin, and that's what we're talking about. And therefore, even if you'll say like the first brisa, like Remei who says that a person doesn't bother him if his wife goes in front of the Chachamim, the Bezdin, to nullify her vows. But here, which is the case of the second brisa, when she's from a dignified family, he'll say that I do not want a woman that makes Nadarm. Yes, I know you found a way out of it, that retroactively you made it she didn't have, but she is the type of woman that makes. It's just that she found a way out of it. So normally, that's not a problem when a man doesn't want the Isha Nadranis, because as long as she didn't have at the time of Kedushin, so she didn't have. So although she'll make in the future, fine, so he'll divorce her at the time that she makes Nadarm. But by a Isha Chashuva, meaning a woman from a respectable family, where he says that I don't want to have that if she'll end up making again another neder because people are habitual type of people and she's going to make a neder in the future and I'm not going to like this type of woman. I don't want the way I have to get out of it is to have to divorce her at that point of time. The reason being is because the Amar, he says, Loinichali de itzaber kreves seha. I don't want to become forbidden in her relatives. In other words, I want to marry into this family. Now, the problem is this girl, I don't know if she makes Nadarm or not. So he makes a condition, when he makes the condition, no Nadarm. Now, if she has a Neder, even if she'll be Mata Neder, since she's from a Chashava family, the second price is saying she's not going to be Mukadeshes. Because what's going to happen is, she is a Isha Nadranis. And in if you're going to say it's a condition, what's going to happen is when he finds out that she really makes Nadarm, he's going to have to divorce her because he doesn't want to stay married to her. But then he can't marry any more the relatives because you can't marry the relatives, the mother and the sister of the woman that you divorced. And therefore, the second Bryce is saying that I don't want this to be a Kedushin at all because I don't want an Adranis. Where, again, the first Bryce was told that it is because I'm a regular woman. The regular woman, fine. If he won't like her, he'll divorce her at that point in time. But here, where he wants to marry into this family, that's going to be a problem, and therefore it's not a Kedushin. Now, that the Gemara asks, Ihachi, but if that's the case, that the way you're conceptualizing the second Brisa is talking about Yisha Chashuva from a respectable family, and that's why it's not a Kedushin, even though she's Mata Nedel Mafreya, and it doesn't bother him if she goes to Bezdin, is because, yeah, because then he's going to run into the problems that he's going to have to divorce her, and then he's not going to be able to stay in this family anymore. But then, say for the Ketani, then the end of that Brisa that says, Avalhu, that was regarding if he makes conditions that she shouldn't have an Nadarim. But let's say he tells her that I'm getting engaged to you on the condition that I don't have any blemishes and I don't have an Nadarim. I mean, because He wants to get in, he wants to marry her. So he tells her, don't worry, it's a kedushin, and don't worry, if I have any mumen or nadarim, then you won't have to stay, it won't be a kedushin. Now, really he had when he got engaged. But during their engagement, shahalach etzel chacham beitir, he goes to the sage who is matir neder, or etzel reifa verifa oisa, or he goes even to the doctor heals him, that mekudeshes, that she's married. But if the way you're describing the case that the reisha was talking about, an isha chashuva, but listening ain't the mekudeshes. Why couldn't you find the case, just like the reisha that says it's not a kedushin, you could have found the case of the seifa even regarding his blemishes and his nadram, that it's also not mekudeshes. Because v'leim, you could have said that hacha bo'adim chashav askinan. You could have said the same thing in reverse. Why say that he's different than her? That she's not mekudeshes, but when he has problems, it is a kedushin if he fixes it during the engagement. You could have said also the other way around. When he's from a dignified family, d'amrei that she would say, lo nicha li de'itza b'krev, I don't want to be forbidden in his relatives. So then it would be essentially the same thing, where if he's a guy that constantly makes nadarm, then I don't want this, that you should be able to be matur as nedil mafreya, and therefore it shouldn't be a kedushin. So why is it any different? Why is the b'raisa say that he is going to be mekudeshes when he, a kedushin when he works it out later, but by her not, because by her he wants to stay married to the family? Well, why can't you say the same thing in reverse, that she wants to stay married in the family and not to this guy because he's always making the dharm? So I think my answer is that there's a fundamental difference between who a woman wants to marry and who a man wants to marry. And that is, ihi, the woman, b'chol duhu nichala, she prefers, no matter who it is, as long as she's married and that she's not single. Because Rish Lakish, like Rish Lakish said, Rish Lakish said that there was a common parable that people would say that Tav L'Mesav Tan Duitz, that women would say that it's better to be two bodies, meaning to be with somebody else, Mil L'Mesav Armalo, than to be alone. And therefore, the woman's not going to be picky. Even if he promised he's not making the darm, it doesn't make a difference. If he found a way out of it, and that halachically it comes out that he didn't have a neder because he was mat a neder, then she'll be happier. She'll want to stay married to him, even though she won't be able to marry into this chashuv family. It doesn't make a difference. She's not being picky. He can be picky. He doesn't necessarily need marriage as much as the woman, and therefore he wants this distinguished family, and by him, therefore, we say, inim mekudeshes. Similar to this concept that Rish Lakish had said, Abayama, he says, another common parable that people say, is the shumshumana gavra, that a woman that her husband is short like an ant, she still puts her chair amongst the noble women that are free, and she sits amongst them and she says, I'm just like you, I'm married and I have a husband just like you. Rapapam, he says similarly that the nafsa gavra, a woman that her husband combs wool, which is a very disgusting type of a profession, still tikre b'seife bava, she'll call him, she's not going to be embarrassed to call him to the threshold, to the doorway of the house, out and open in front of everybody, v'tesev, and she'll sit over there in front of everybody because she's so excited just that she's married to somebody. Rav Asher, he says similarly, the kalsa gavra, if a woman's husband is from a family of poor repute, she won't even ask from him, even though, like, what do you mean, look, you should be happy I married you. No, she won't even ask from him lentils, l'kidra, to cook in a pot, which is something a very insignificant type of a food, and there's no law, it's not such a big expense. She's not going to ask from him anything, just that her last name should be the same as his last name. In other words, she's just excited that she's married to somebody. Tana, however, we learn the Braisa, that Bakulan, all these women that are married to these low-class husbands, but they show how much they love them, they're so excited that at least they have a husband, actually it's not the case. Rather, it's mizanois. They actually have illicit relationships when they're married. They're having with other men. And when they get pregnant, the toilois, they say that the fetus, they say, is actually bibalei, and they're pregnant from their husbands. And the Bryce is essentially saying that the reason why they're so excited that they have husbands is just that gives them a cover to be able to be mazana. Because when they're single, they're going to say, how are you pregnant? Yeah, obviously it was mazana. Here they could say, oh, it's from the husband. And that's why they're so excited. But really, it's just a cover for them to be able to be mazana. Now, be that as it may, that was Rava's interpretation of why the second Bryce says that from him to her, he doesn't want Ish Nadrans because he wants a respectable family. But from her to him, a woman would prefer any man, and therefore we don't say that she's not going to want a man that's making the darm. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that said that kol mumen she'paislin v'chulu, that any blemishes that invalidate a kohen invalidates a woman. In other words, we said that that's considered mekach tayis, where he doesn't want a woman that has a blemish. That's whatever is a blemish by kahanim is a blemish by women. Now, Tanu learned the brayse that actually hasifa aleihem. They added on that's considered a blemish for women. That's not even considered a blemish for the kahanim to do the avodah, which are zeya. If a woman's always perspiring, always sweating, v'shuma if she has a mole, and v'reicha peh if she has bad breath. Now, which the Gemara asks, v'hani b'kahani loy pasli? What does the brayse say? That what do you mean? These are not things that are invalidated by kahanim. But what's not? We learn the Mishnah Masechtas Bechoris that talks about the blemishes for animals that are not valid to be brought as karbonas. It says hazakin if it's a very old animal, v'chayil if it's ill, and v'hamezuhim and if it has a bad odor. Now, v'tznan, we learned in the later on the Mishnah, it says that mumen elu, these blemishes in the animal, are bein kavu and bein oven, whether they're permanent blemishes or whether they're temporary. They're still going to be a problem for the animal as a carbon. And also pesulin be'odam, that these blemishes that we said for karbanis are going to be possible for people, whether they're kvun or aver. Now, the Gemara's assumption in the question is that body sweat and bad breath are considered in mezuhim, in that is this bad odor that's coming out from the person. Now, we said that just like they're a blemish for the animal, they're a blemish even in a temporary way for a person, meaning for the kahanim. So how are you saying that mezuhim that Zeya and Reicha Peh was added on only to a woman, but we see Kahanim, the Mezuhim, which seemingly includes Zeya and Reicha Peh, are blemishes by them too. So the Gemara gives two approaches. Omer Bris Rechanina, he says, Loi Kash, it's not a difficulty. He says, Kan, by the Brisa, which said that it's only a problem for women and not for Kahanim, it's talking about Zeya Iveris. When we said that when they always sweat, it's a problem, it's talking about that they're not always sweating, but they sweat a lot, and it's temporary. It's not at all times. That's only a problem by women and not by kahanim. Kan, however, in the Mishnah Masechtas Bechoris that said actually that mezuhim, that seemingly includes sweating too, is a problem even by kahanim. That's bezeya she'en averes. That's the sweat that never stops. It's always continuous. Since it's continuous, so the kohen can never do the avodah. But if it's not at all times, so then that's a problem by a woman because he still doesn't want that because he lives with her all the time. But the kohen who does the avodah, he could choose and pick when he's not sweating. And therefore, that's not going to be a problem for the kohen, only for the woman. Now, Rav Asher, I mean, he gives a second approach. He says, the question is not a question. He says, Zeya mezum karamis? You're posing contradiction from the braisa that said regarding sweating, that's only by women, to the category of mezuim, which has a foul odor that says that's a problem, as the Mishnah says, b'chayis, even by kahanim. But that's not a contradiction. Because mezuim refers to that there's a bad body odor, the body smells. Now, that's a problem by kahanim. But hasam over there in the braisa, which was talking about a person sweating, ga b'kahanim, that's not a psul. Because as we learned in the braisa, that was added on only to women, because efshar la'avra b'kiyu d'chamra. Because what he could do for the sweat is that he can use vinegary wine, and before he does the avodah, and therefore that's going to get rid of that perspiration, and therefore he'll be able to do the avodah. Moreover, umerecha panami, even regarding the bad breath, efshar denokit pilpal labepume v'avod avodah, he could put in pepper in his mouth, and that has a strong countering of the bad breath, and then he'll be able to do the avodah. So yes, mezuim is a constant body odor. That's a problem for kahanim. But regarding sweat, you can use something. You could use this vinegary wine. And for bad breath, you could use pepper. Now, avakabi isha, but regarding the woman, that's not an option because the husband's always talking with his wife, so lo yafshar. She can't always be having a peppercorn in her mouth, and neither could she always be using and washing herself 24 hours a day with vinegary wine. The kohen who does avoid this at times, he can do it, and therefore, it's not a contradiction because mezuim is a constant thing that there's no option for, whereas zeya and reicha peh is not, and therefore, you can't even ask the contradiction at different categories, and that's why that it's only a problem by women who are always with their husbands, in contrast to the kahanim. Now the Gemara moves on to the third one. Hai shuma, this time we said that the mole is an invalidation by the woman, by some type of a birthmark. Say, echadami, what is the case that it's considered a mum? As Gemara explains, idis basar, if the mole has hair growing out of it, well then halacha b'halacha pasul. It's not just an invalidation then just for women, it's actually a problem for kahanim too. Id lo yis basar, if there's no hair growing out of it, Well, then it depends. Ishum Gedoilahi is a very large one. Hachavahachapasa, then it's invalidation by Kanam too. And Ishum Gitanahi, and if it's small, well, then Hachavahachalapasa, it's definitely not going to be invalidation even by a woman because everybody has some type of a mole or body mark, and that's not something that's so unseemly. So the time of Lina Braisa that talks about the Basulim of Kain, where we see that there shouldn't be any difference between Kanam and a woman. The Braisa says, Shumash Yesh Basar. If a Kain has a mole that has hair, Sahar is a mum, that's a blemish. Ein basar, if there's no hair, well, the gendoyla har is a mum. If it's large, then it is a blemish. Ketana ein zemum. If it's small, it's not a blemish. Now, the ezuhi gendoyla, what's considered large? So, Pirishim Shimimimimimimimimimimimim explains that ad ki iser italki, that's what's considered small, is up until the size of an iser of italki. Larger than that is considered large. So, the Gemara's question is, where did we find the difference between a woman and a kahanim to say that only women have the problem of a shum? So Amir Yisrael B'chanin says it's talking about a case by Medes al-Padachta, where it's on her forehead, and that there's no hair, and it's very small. Where for a Kohen, that's not considered a blemish, but for a woman, since it's right there on the forehead, so that would be considered a blemish for the beauty of a woman. Now, but the Gemara asks, if that's the case, Padachta on her forehead will rub in the fire suit. So he obviously saw it, you can't miss it, and if he's getting married, he was appeased, and he's accepting of it. So how can you say that that's grounds for consider a mum where he could divorce her without having to give her a ksuba, that this is something wrong with her? So Amar Papa, he says, that it's underneath the what covers her on her head, which where sometimes you see it and sometimes you don't, she could cover it with something on top of her head. That's why it's not obvious that he saw it and it was appeased, and therefore such a blemish is a blemish for a woman, and therefore that's grounds for the divorce. Related to this topic, okay, about mumin and a woman, so Amr Rav Chisdi says, "Ha milsa megaver Rabbi Shmuel." I heard this following Allah from a great Talmud Chacham. Umane heard, and who is this? Etzer B'shila, that noshcha kelev, if a dog bites a woman, v'nasa mekoyim etzalekes, and that there's a permanent mark there where the dog had bit, meaning some type of a scab or a scar, harizamum. That's considered a blemish in a woman. Moreover, Amr Rav Chisdi says, "Koil ova be'isha," a very thick voice by a woman. Harizamum, that's considered a blemish. Shanemlik says the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, ki koylech arev, because your voice is sweet, umarech nava, and your appearance is beautiful. So we see that part of the beauty of a woman is her sweet voice, and therefore if it's thick, it's considered a mum. Continuing on this topic, the Gemara brings Tani Rebbe Nosson Beruah. Rebbe Nosson Beruah taught that bein dade isha, that we learned in the Braisa, that between the woman's breaths, tefach is a tefach. So, Sav Ravacha bereid de Rava kamei de Ravashi lemeim. So, Ravacha, the son of Rava, thought to say in front of Ravashi, he thought what this halacha was teaching us. What does it mean that between a woman's breasts are a tefach? The tefach lemel yasa, that the Brice is telling us that that's considered beauty for a woman, that her breasts should have a distance from each other of that of a tefach. So, on that only Ravashi said to him, no, kabe mumen tanya. This was actually part of that brice that we quoted of all the blemishes in the woman, which said about sweat and about a mole and about bad breath and about all these other blemishes. So if a woman has a distance between her breasts, that of a tefach, that's actually considered a mumbai woman. Now, so the Gemara has a kama. So how much distance between the breasts are considered beauty? So Abaye says, Shalashat's place, a distance of three finger breadths, that's considered beautiful, but something that's a tefach is already considered a mum. Related to this, the Gemara brings Tanya Lina Braisa. Reb Nosson Oimer, he says, Kol Isha Shadadeho Gastam Shel Chavrisa, any woman that her breasts are larger than her friend's breasts, Harezem Mum, that's considered a blemish. So the Gemara one is Vikama. How much larger are the breasts going to be than her friend's that it should be considered a blemish? So Amr Maisha Bar Berei, Mishmei Rebbi Shub ben Levi said tefach. If her breasts are tefach larger than her friends, that's considered already much larger, and that's considered a blemish. So the Gemara wonders, Umika ki hagavna, is there such a case, such a type of a woman that her breasts are that much larger than the rest of the women? But the Gemara says, and yes, the Amr Rabbi Bar Bachana, he said, Ani Ra'isi, Arviya Achas, he said, I saw one Arabian woman, Shevshila Dadel Lachareha, that she was able to throw her breasts behind her. Venikas Banan, that's how she was nursing her child. That's how large they were, that she was able to throw it behind her. Again, showing that it could be that large, and that would be considered a mum, like all the other women, by an Isha, grounds for the divorce. Now, the Gemara continues with the Pasuk in Tehillim, and that is because it mentions the Drasha of Rav Maisha, who we just quoted before. So the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Ulitzion ye omar, and that regarding Tzion, regarding Yerushalayim, it shall be said, Ish ve'ish yulad ba, that this man and this man were born in there. In other words, this Pasuk is talking about regarding the future, when the fulfillment of the Pasuk will be, that says, Ve'viyu es kol acheichem mincha la'Hashem, that all your brothers will bring a mincha to Hashem. In other words, wherever the non-Jews, the people of the world, are going to find a Jewish person. So the nations are going to say, oh, this is from Bnei Tzion. This is a person from Yerushalayim, and he was born there. Let's go ahead and bring him there. And v'hu yichinenah elyon, Hashem will then go ahead and establish Yerushalayim supreme above the rest of the world. On that, Omer of Maisha Barbaradi Bishum Levi, who that's why we're bringing this, because this is the same Reb Maisha, he expounds that why does it say ish v'ish? What's the redundancy of these two ish? So he says, because it's a reference to Echad Anoilba, that when the nations of the world are going to talk about this person as being from Bnei Tzion, it means either the one who is born over there, and Ve'echad HaMetzapa L'Raisa. It also includes someone that anticipates seeing it. He's also called from Beneho, and that they'll bring him to Yerushalayim. Now, however, Amar Abaye, he says that although this seems to be comparing someone born in Eretz Yisrael and someone striving to be there, but v'chad minayu, but one of them, meaning one of the people that live in Eretz Yisrael, is adif, is better, meaning is more intelligent and sharper, ketrei minon, than two of us who live in Bavel. However, Amar Rava, Rava says, but v'chad minon, but one of us from Bavel, kisalk lahasim, when he goes up, makes aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, adif ketrei minayu, he's better, that one of us that went up there, than two of them. Because the Harib Yirmiyah, because we find Rabbi Yirmiyah, the Chihava Hacha, when he was here in Bavel, will have a yadda my kamer ban. He didn't even know what the rabbis were saying. And Kisal Kalhasim, when he went up to Eretz Yisrael, Kari Lon Bavloi Tipsha, he calls us the foolish Babylonians. In other words, he's smarter than everybody else there, again illustrating that although they're better than two of us, but one of us, when he goes up there, is better than two of them. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme of the previous Mishnah about blemishes of a woman. So the Mishnah says, Hayu ba mumin, if we find that a woman had blemishes, and va'ed bevesaviyah, and when we find it, she's still engaged, and she's in her father's house, so ha'av tzarech lehevi rai. So the father has to bring proof. In other words, if the father's coming to, if let's say the husband says, you have a blemish, I don't want to go on with this wedding, I don't want to get married to you. So her father says, but you want to get rid of her, you want to divorce her from this erusin, but you got to give a ksuba. The father has to bring proof, shemishnis arsa hayu ba mumin halalu, that actually, when they got engaged, which was the condition that there was at the time of kedushin, which is the assumption he doesn't want mumin, actually she didn't have blemishes at that time. And therefore it was a valid kedushin. And therefore when you get divorced from a kedushin, he has to give her the ksuba. So he has to bring the proof that actually the blemishes only developed after they were engaged. And therefore v'nistach v'sadeu, which is the metaphor of his field got ruined, meaning the husband's. Because actually, you have to give a ksuba. Because at the time of kedushin, which mandates you in the ksuba, she was actually without a blemish. Now that she has one, even though you didn't even get married yet and she's still in my house, but it was in your field, so to speak, in your possession, that she developed a blemish. And therefore, just like a regular woman, if you're married 10 years and gets the blemish, if you want a divorce, you got to give a ksuba here also. However, the Mishnah says, nichnasa l'rishus habal, if she really entered the husband's domain, that is, she really got married, and now he discovers that she has a blemish and he wants to divorce her without a ksuba because of her mumin, then habal tzarech lehevi raya. Then the husband has to bring proof. In other words, he has to bring witnesses. And the Gemara will explain the disparity between the Reisha and the Seifa. Sha'ach leinis arsa hayiba mumin elu. He has to bring proof that actually, no, she had blemishes even before we were engaged. And b'hoyu mekhoi mekach toyes. And therefore, his acquisition of her as a wife was a mistaken one. And therefore, he doesn't have to give her a ksuba. That's divrei mer. The chachamim, the chacham say, when did we say at all that the husband can make a claim regarding mumin and say that this is a mistake and therefore I don't have to give you a ksuba? That's only by mumin shebeseisa. That's only by blemishes which are concealed, which he could not have seen the way a woman dresses out in the open. However, as we continue on Tamad Beis, Alba B'mumin Shabagolui, but if it's a revealed blemish, then Eino Yochalit, and then he can't make a claim saying, oh, she has a blemish, I'm not giving ksuba, because obviously he knew about it, and he was okay with it. Now he changed his mind, but that's too late, it's not considered a Mekach Tois. Now, however, V'im Yesh Merchetz Bo'isir, if there's a bathhouse in that city, then Af Mumin Shabaseser Eino Yochalit, then actually he can't even stake a claim, even if it's concealed blemishes, where places where normally a man wouldn't be able to see. Because actually, what he does is, since everyone bathes in that bathhouse, he sends his relatives to check her out to make sure there's no blemishes. And therefore, any blemish that she has on her, he would know about. And therefore, even if it's a moment Shabba Seser, he cannot make a claim, because obviously he knew about it and he was nisbayis, he was agreeable to it. Now, the Gemara wonders regarding the two cases mentioned in the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah opens up with a case that if the blemish was discovered when she's still engaged, and she's in Talmudic times, there was a halachic kedushin, and then 12 months later, only then she would go to her husband's house. So sometime during the engagement, she's in her father's household, and they find the blemish. So the Mishnah made it sound like the time of demaisia avraya, the reason why that the only way that they would be able to collect the ksuba would be if the father would bring proof that the blemish developed after that kedushin was. Haloi maisia avraya, but the inference of the Mishnah is that if the father did not bring a proof, habal mehemen, then the husband is believed to say that since maybe you fooled me, maybe she really had the blemish, I don't know, I know now, 2 weeks later after the engagement she has a blemish, then I'm not going to give you the money of the ksuba because of what's called hemen mamal achas kasei. There's a suffix over here. We don't know when it developed. I say it was before, you say it was after. So the cheskes mamon of the ksuba is mine, the husband says. You have to try to prove it if you want to collect it from me. And therefore, the father has to bring the raya. He's the mitzvah mechaverai, and the chazaka goes with the chasen. So the gemara wants his money. Who does that make the town of our Mishnah? Makes it Rabbi Yeshua. He makes Rabbi Yeshua. Because the Amar, he says in the first parak of Masechet Ksubis that if when the husband and wife have the first bia and he discovers she doesn't have besula, so she says, look, I didn't trick you. Actually, when we were engaged, I was a besula. Actually, I was violated by another man during the engagement. And he says, no, you fooled me. You weren't a virgin even before we got engaged. And therefore, I don't have to give you the ksuba of a besula. So Rabbi Yeshua says, regarding the claims each one is making, he says, we don't rely on her testimony, that she should be believed to say that, oh, I really was a besula, I just was violated during the engagement. Rather, we say that the cheskes mamon is primary, and we don't go after her cheskes haguf. I mean, there's two chazakas here. Whoever is the presumptive state that it was in, the money is in the presumptive state of who has it now, who is the chasen. However, there's a cheskes haguf that her body has a presumptive state also. To say that, wait, we're not sure what she was she besula or not at that time of erison. Let's say that her body is in its presumptive state, which was, how was she born? Until we know otherwise, we should say that she's a besula, that she was a virgin. We don't say that. We say that the cheskes mamon wins out on the cheskes haguf, and therefore he doesn't have to give her the ksuba of a besula. Therefore, it sounds like our Mishnah is saying the same thing also. We don't say that we give her cheskes haguf, that she didn't have a blemish because a woman is born without blemishes. And if she has a blemish, then that would seem to indicate that if we're making the father have to prove it, that it's going like Rabbi Yeshua, who says that we don't go after the cheskes haguf, and rather we go after the cheskes mamon. But on that, the Gemara asks, Eima Seifa, look at the Seifa. And the next case, the Mishnah goes on to says, if nechnas al rishos habal, if she had already entered the husband's domain, she already got married, then habal tzarich levi raya. So the husband has to bring a raya that it didn't develop afterwards, and if he can't prove it, then actually he still has to give a ksuba. Now, time of the maisa bal raya, it sounds like only because if the husband brings proof. Haloi maisa bal raya, but if it doesn't bring proof, well then ha'av mehem, then the father's believed to say that the blemish only happened after she was engaged. Well, that's asan Rabbi Gamliel, that goes according to Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua is disputing. The Amar, where he says over there in the first parak, that she is nemenis, that she's believed to say that she was a besula because the cheskes haguf, which is the presumptive state of her body that she was a besula, wins out over his cheskes mamon, and he has to give her the ksuba of a besula. So how do we understand this contradiction? The reisha sounds like it's Rabbi Yeshua, and that is the cheskes mamon is stronger than the cheskes haguf. And then the next case, when it goes into the domain of the husband, sounds like Rabbi Gamliel, who says the cheskes haguf is stronger than the cheskes mamon. So Amar Balaza, he says, you're right, Tavra is definitely a contradiction between the Reisha and the Seifa. And what you have to say is, Misha Shanazu, Le Shanazu. Whoever taught the Reisha, the Mishnah, didn't teach the Seifa, the Mishnah. And that is, the Reisha is like Rabbi Yeshua, that essentially the same thing would apply if you're saying the Reisha is like Rabbi Yeshua, not only if it was in Rishus Ha'ab, but even if it was Rishus Habal, that if it was only discovered then, the Baal would still be believed. And the Sefer is going to come Liel, and the truth is, the Sefer would even be not only Bebeis Bala, but even be Bebeis Aviyah, that the father would be believed. And the reason being is because we don't have any reason to differentiate whether it happened that it was discovered in the father's house or after she went to the chuppah in her husband's house, because it doesn't make a difference. Either way, there's a cheskes a guf versus a cheskes mamon. And Rabbi Shua holds cheskes mamon is the primary, and Rabbi Gamliel holds that the one that wins out is a cheskes a guf. So Rabbi Lozer says it's a contradiction. Now, parenthetically, once we introduced this machlekes Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Gamliel, so Amar Rava, Rava just comes to explain that he says, Lo tema Rabbi Shua le'oz l'basa chazaka de guf ha'klai. He says, don't think that, and we keep on bringing this up, that Rabbi Shua holds that the cheskes mamon wins out the cheskes aguf. He says, don't think Rabbi Shua doesn't define halachic reality based on the if a body has a presumptive state. In other words, to say that even if there's no cheskes mamon opposing it, that we don't relate to cheskes aguf. Ella, rather, kilei ozel Rabbi Shua basa chazaka deguf. The only reason Rabbi Shua keeps on not going and basing the halacha on what was the presumptive state of her body, that's only heichadeka chazaka demamayna. That's only where you have opposing the cheskes aguf. A cheskes mamon, like the case of our Mishnah in the first parak, where she wants to take out money from him based on her cheskes aguf, that doesn't work. Aval heichadeka chazaka demamayna. But what Rava says is that where there is no cheskes mamon opposing the cheskes aguf, then also Rabbi Shua basa chazaka deguf. Rabbi Shua does go based on the chazaka of what the body had. And the Gir says, "Ditna," like we learn the Mishnah, which the Mishnah Masechtas Negoyim says, "In baheres koydim lasar lavan." There's a few variables that are important in one of the Negoyim of tzaras to make the person tame, and one of them is called the baheres, where there's the discoloration, a white discoloring of the skin. Moreover, there has to be white hairs growing out of it. So on that, the Mishnah says that if the baheres, the discoloration of the skin, presented itself before the white hairs grew out of it, then tame. Then the person will have the tuma of the nega, because that's what the pasuk says in Yikud Gimel. It says has to be sar lavan be baheres. The white hairs have to be in the baheres, meaning the baheres has to be there before the sar lavan. Im sar lavan kaim baheres tar. But if the white hairs came before the discoloration of the skin, then the person will be tar, because that's not the order that it has to go in. Now, however, suffik, if let's say we're not sure, we didn't watch, we didn't see the development, which one came first, so then tame, out of doubt, the person will be tame. But Rabbi Shuaimer, he says, keha, it becomes weak, which, my keha, what does that mean? So Amar Rabba, Rabba explains that keha means to say that it's like when there's a nega that gets diminished from its color, which that generally means to say that tar, it becomes tar. So too over here, when there's a case of suffik, it's like a nega that became more faint, more weak, that it's going to become tahar. So what you see from Rabbi Yeshua, who said this, that the reason why is because, although it's a suffik, and you would say maybe suffik with a raisa l'chumra, he says no, because there's a cheskes haguf, that up until now the guf was not tameh, so we're not going to be metamit from suffik because of the cheskes haguf. So he proved this point that Rabbi Yeshua does agree to the principle of cheskes haguf. It's just again, when it's opposing a cheskes mamon wins out a cheskes haguf according to Rabbi Yeshua, not according to Rabbi Gamliel. Now, continuing on the discussion from before, Rav is going back to answer the contradiction of the Reish and the Seifa. And that is, Rabbi Elazar said that you're right, it's definitely a contradiction, and you have to say it was taught by two different Tanoim. One was Rabbi Yeshua, one's like Rabbi Gamliel. But Rav is coming to answer that no. Actually, you could say that the whole Mishnah of our Mishnah is like Rabbi Gamliel. And the reason for that is because actually that's what we pass in like La'alach in the first parak. And the truth is that we always say that a cheskes aguf overpowers and wins a keneged cheskes mamon. However, Reisha, the reason for the Reisha that we say that the husband is believed, even though she has, the father's side has a cheskes haguf, and that Rabbi Gamliel says is better than the cheskes mamon of the husband, is because of the principle known as kanimtzu bekan hoyu. This is where it was found, and therefore this is where it developed. In other words, since the blemish was found when she was still in her father's household, so that starts deteriorating somewhat the chazaka of the father, because we could say that where was this girl up until now? She was, when she was always single all her years, that she was in her father's household. And therefore, if she's still in her father's household, she didn't yet move on to the second phase in her husband's household. We can say, oh, it makes sense that it was developed here, meaning a few weeks ago before she got engaged. So too, in the first paragraph, when we have the machloikis between Lila and Rishu, Rasha explains it must be talking about that she, as because when she has bia with her husband, meaning she's already in her husband's domain. That's where Mil says that, so therefore the father's, his position with his daughter's cheskas agov wasn't weakened. But here it's different. Rimliel would agree, and that's why it's even according to Rimliel that the Reisha is talking about, since we find it when she's still in her father's household, so for 20 years she's living there, and just a few weeks maybe into the engagement they find the blemish, it makes sense that if this is where we find it, that this is where it happened. It didn't happen after she got engaged. It happened when she was still in her singlehood. Whereas Seifa Namikanemtsubikanoyu, but the same principle works in the Seifa when she's already in the husband's domain. We say that no, it makes sense it was developed over here, and therefore the husband loses his chazak of the cheskas moment, and that's where Mlil holds that the cheskas aguv overpowers the cheskas moment. Based on the principle of Kanemtsubikanoyu, that's actually why it does make a difference. It was found Bishus Ha'av, the father's chazaka gets weakened, and therefore the husband, he has the better hand, whereas if it happens in the husband's domain, therefore, if that's where it's found, so we say that's where it happened, and therefore that means to say it was after that they got married, and therefore it's his loss. Now, however, Itzra Abaya asks on this interpretation from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Nichnasa l'rshus habal, which is the case of the Sefer that we keep on calling it, if she entered the husband's domain, that she consummated the relationship already, so habal tzorch lehevi rai, the husband has to bring proof that she'ad sholei tisara, so you have a moment elu, that actually these blemishes were even before they had gotten engaged. And that means to say that the whole acquisition, the whole marriage was a mistake, and therefore he doesn't have to give her the ksuba. Now, the inference is, Abaye says, that Achalaitis Aris in, only if he brings a raya that and his claim that she had the blemish even before they got engaged. But it sounds like Mishatis Aris, that if the husband brings proof, he brings witnesses who saw the blemishes on the woman when she was engaged and she was still in our father's household, that loy, similarly, that would not be enough of a proof for him to win to get out of the ksuba to say it's a mekertois. But the question is, vamai? If the reason that you're explaining is because of what's known as kanimtsu kanhoyu, so leme kanimtsu kanhoyu, you should say that if it was found in the father's household, so then that's where the blemish developed. And you said that if it's found in the father's household, that then it's their loss and he wins. So why win? The Sefer says that if he has to bring a raya, the husband to win, he has to bring a raya that she developed the blemish before they got engaged. Why? Let him bring a raya that it happened at least when they were engaged. And then you say kanim tzikanoyu. Obviously, Abaye says you have to say that the Reish and the Sefer are arguing. And therefore, even if you're going to say that it happened at the time when she was in her father's household, the quote, Tan of the Sefer, who according to Rabbi Elazar, that's Rimum Leel, would say that she would still be believed. Because he doesn't go, there's no kanim tzikanhoyu, like Rabbi Elazar had said. And that is because the Rabbi Gamliel holds no matter where it happens. Only if it brings a raya that happened before they got engaged, then obviously that's a nekach tayis. But therefore you see seemingly that refutes the interpretation of Rava. So Rava says to him, no. Truthfully is that the Reisha is like I said, that it's all Rabbi Gamliel. And the Reisha, the reason why the father is not believed is because kanim tzikanhoyu, so if the blemish was found here by the father's household, it must have been that happened here when she was still single. But Mishnas Arso, the reason why, if the husband would bring a raya that it happened after then when she was engaged, in which essentially you're asking me that should be kanim tzikanhoyu, is Mishum de Ikala Meme. The truth is because no, then the father and the woman could tell the husband, Chazaka ain't on the Mishais Sibukais, Ilam Kim Boitka, which is a euphemism. There's an established chazaka, a presumptive assumption, that a person doesn't drink from a cup before he checks it out before. Maybe it's dirty. And which is a euphemism for the woman to say that if she had blemishes, a husband's not having beer with her before he checks that out. Fahai, Rav and Afayasu. And therefore, if you're already married, obviously you saw and you were okay with it. And because or else you wouldn't have gone ahead and consummated the relationship. So that's why if it was already Nichnasa L'Rishus HaBaal, even if he would say that it happened Mishnas Arsa, although that essentially should work based on the principles of Kanim Tzikanoyu, but they say that it doesn't make a difference because you agreed to it, you acquiesced, because or else you wouldn't have consummated the relationship. But they have to Gemara's Each, if that's the case, then actually Tisaris Nami. So how does that help? Then he should never have a claim. Why does the Mishnah say that, okay, if he brings a raya, he has witnesses that say they saw the blemish when she was 15, before she got married, before she was even engaged, then it's a mekach tayis. How does that help? You just said he's not going to drink from the cup until he checks it out. That means he agreed no matter when the blemish happened. So either way, he should have to give the ksuba. So Ella rather, aminan chazaka, because we have a chazaka the other way. In odim mefayis b'mumen. A person does not become a piece to blemishes. So that chazaka works in his favor. So therefore, if he brings a raya who is beforehand, then he doesn't have to give a ksuba, because even though he consummated a relationship, no one comes to terms with blemishes. So, hachanami, if that's the case, well then, Abai says, we're back to the question, on Yurava, chazaka in od mefayis mumun. We have a chazaka saying that, yes, you have a chazaka that you're trying to say why it shouldn't work, even though I'm asking you, it should be kanem tzakanoy, you're saying that, okay, but why'd you go ahead with it? Obviously, you were okay with it. But obviously, we don't say that because we have a chazaka saying the other way around, that a person's not okay with blemishes from the fact that we see if he has proof that it happened before the kedushin, then they wouldn't have to give the ksuba. So then the same thing should be even if he brings a raya that happened during the erisin, that you should, based on your principle of kanimtsa kanhayu, that then it's isra the chazaka of the father, and that the husband doesn't have to give, he shouldn't have to give. So Ella rather, and those who point out that there's those who don't have the girsa ella, and those who want to say that Rashi also would hold like that, that says that it's not difficult. The reason being is because there's a difference. You're right, you have a good question that nisarsa should be the same as lefnei nisarsa, but mishne nisarsa, where the husband brings witnesses that saw the blemishes on this woman only, not before she was engaged, only when she was engaged in her father's house. The reason why that wouldn't be enough of a proof to let the husband get off without giving the ksuba is because mishum de'ika tarti chazaka. When she's already engaged and only then the blemish is found, then there are two chazakas working in the woman's favor. First of all, hemen haguf al cheskase. We have what's known as a cheskes haguf, to say that actually she didn't have the blemishes when she was engaged, because everything goes when you find it. And the blemish was only found by the husband after he consummated the relationship, when she was already bishras habal. So, and if you're going to say, but she loses her, that chazaka of cheskes gets weakened because of kanimtsa kanhayu, you have witnesses that say that they saw it at that time. But there's another chazaka. V'chazaka ein adam shayse b'kayis el mkin b'itkay. But we have another chazaka that a person won't consummate the relationship unless he checks it out first. Now, so therefore, even that the blemishes were here before kedushin, but if you went ahead and you went to chuppah, that's the drinking of the cup. So we know that you definitely checked her out. And v'hai rov and afayis, so obviously you saw it and you agreed to it. Now, my amrit, what are you going to respond back? Haha, what do you mean? But there's a chazaka the other way around, working in the husband's favor, the chazaka in mefayis b'mumen. But there's a chazaka, no one comes to terms with blemishes. So there's these two countering chazakas. One is that you obviously agree to it because no one drinks before they check at the cup. But yet at the other end, no one's okay with blemishes. So however, what it comes out, now as we continue to talk about Vayindavam and Aleph, that you have chad b'makom tarti. You have one chazaka of that a person does not become a foyas, he does not become a piece with blemishes, in the place of two chazakas, which two is better than one. You have a harcheskes haguf that maybe didn't happen when she was engaged, only happened afterwards. And even if you say it happened when she was engaged because of kan nimtsa kanhayu, but we have another chazaka, which is a chazaka that a person doesn't drink until he checks out the cup. You obviously agree to it. Now Rashi points out one important idea, is that seemingly that there should be trei b'malkum trei, it shouldn't be 2-1, there should be 2-2, because more than that is that the husband has his cheskes mamin. So that Rashi says actually that when there's a cheskes haguf, especially since we're saying we're going like Rambam Gamliel, when there's a cheskes haguf, the cheskes mamin is irrelevant. And that's Rambam Gamliel's opinion all along. And that's why a cheskes haguf wins out over a cheskes mamin. So that's not even considered. So you have chad b'makom tarti, chad b'makom tarti l'amrinan, and we don't establish, we can't define halacha of one chazaka in the place of two chazakas, and that's why she will win. He'll have to give the ksuba if he only finds it after he consummated the relationship, if he has witnesses that say they saw it only when she was engaged, even though there's kanim tzikanayu. And the only way he can get out of it is if he has witnesses that say they saw it from before even that she was engaged, then it's for sure a mekech tois. Now, however, where witnesses say that they saw it, achaloy tesaris, and that's what the Gemara concludes, that as the Mishnah says, that if it was even before she got engaged, they saw the blemishes, well then, hemen haguf al cheskos la'ikal emeim, but then you cannot have the cheskes haguf to say that it wasn't there at the time of kedushin because we have witnesses that say they saw it before she was engaged. So Ma'ika, what are you left with, working in the woman's favor, is only chazaka de inim shayis bekayis el mekayin baitke, only the chazaka that you obviously agreed, because you don't drink a cup until you check it out first. And therefore, the high rov in the fayis, who's obviously he saw and he was okay with it, but adrabba, to the contrary, we have working the other way around, a chazaka einod mefayis b'mumen, that a chazaka, that a person is not appeased with blemishes. So therefore, they counter each other out, and you don't have a cheskas aguf, as we just explained. So what are you left with? The hemid mumen al cheskas, the last man standing, the only thing left around, is the cheskas amumen, and since there's no cheskas aguf, even Rabbi Gamliel would agree that the husband will win, and he will not have to give the ksuba, and therefore, that was two interpretations in our Mishnah, where we had Rabbi Elazar, who said that, yes, obviously, they're two different tanoim, the resh is like Rabbi Shua, the seva is like Rabbi Gamliel. Whereas Rava said that no, it's all Rabbi Gamliel, and the ratio is different because kanimtsa kanhoyu, and although the husband has to bring a raya only from what was before erisin, not during erisin, is because there's going to be two chazakas, and his one chazaka doesn't work, but when it was before erisin, then it's one that counters out the other one, and the only thing you're left with is cheskes mumen, and Rabbi Gamliel also obviously holds when there's no cheskes haguf, the cheskes hamumen defines the halacha, and that the husband has the cheskes mumen, and therefore doesn't have to give her the ksubah.